In Revelation chapter 7, we're going to have some questions answered here in chapter 7. The first question we're going to be able to answer is the last verse in Revelation 6, where it says, "Who will be able to stand the wrath of God?" So we're going to see who's going to be able to stand and who's going to go through the tribulation period. And then we're going to... There's two groups of people that do make it through the tribulation period. And that's basically the two groups we see here. In Revelation 7 is a kind of a... It's been inserted between 6 and 8. And in chapter 8, of course, the seventh seal is open. We looked at the sixth seal. But basically in Revelation 7, you have the sealing of the 144,000. These are Jewish bachelors that God seals and gives the gospel to. And they go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, in reality, these guys are sealed at the beginning of the tribulation period. You also have two other guys, the two witnesses. They are sealed at the beginning of the tribulation period. So these people are sealed so that the Antichrist can't bother them until their mission is complete. Now remember what it says over there in Matthew 24, I think it's verse 13, where it says that he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world, and then the end will come. Well, that's the gospel of the kingdom. And what is the gospel of the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom is repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And today, the kingdom of heaven is not at hand. It's not at hand. Today the gospel is that Christ died for your sins and that he was buried. And when he was buried, what did he do? He took your sins away. And the third day he rose again for your justification. See, that's the gospel that saves you today. It's not the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. That's not what we're talking about. But that gospel has to be preached into all the world, and then the end will come. Now, during the tribulation period, you've got... Just let me give you this real quick. You've got the 144,000. They go out and preach the gospel. You've got the two witnesses. They go out and preach the gospel. And then you got the seven churches that's in the tribulation period. They also are preaching the gospel. And they go out. And that's how the gospel of the kingdom gets out into all the world. And that's so the end will come. But that's two groups of people that's going to be saved in the tribulation period. Now, it's not talking about Gentiles. It's talking about the nation of Israel. That remnant of Israel is going to be saved. And that's what we're looking at here in chapter number 7. So, basically, that's what 7's about. Revelation 7 is... That's what he's talking about. Revelation 7, verse 1, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree." Now, I hope you all can see when you read this here in the book of Revelation, I hope you can see that God is using angels again. Now, you can believe what you want to, but don't you dare depend upon a guardian angel today, because you don't have one. Don't take a chance that your guardian angel is going to protect you, because he's not, because you don't have one. See, I got something a lot better than a guardian angel. I'm the temple of God, and you are too if you believe, and I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me, and that's a lot better than any angel could ever be. Amen. So we don't have guardian angels, and God's not using angels today, and Satan's not using angels today. You say, oh, I thought that they had all kind of all this stuff going on. No. Satan is an angel of light today, and his ministers are ministers of righteousness. You know what they're preaching? They're preaching, do good. If you can't do good, well, send me your money and I'll do good. That's what they're preaching. If you don't believe it, turn your TV on. They ain't going to tell you the gospel that saves you. They're going to tell you the gospel of the kingdom, where they've got signs, miracles, and wonders. That's what they're preaching. So today, we're trying to get the gospel out, and it's free. It don't cost you a thing. All you got to do is believe it and trust it. He did it all for you, and you can't help him out a bit. So don't get involved in that stuff. The gospel that we preach today is the fact that Jesus Christ did it all, and he did it on the cross for you. And that's what it's about. But here in the book of Revelation, you say, well, why in the world are you studying this? And I've told you all this before. We're studying the book of Revelation because if you're out in the world today, you need to be able to give an answer to every man. That's what the book said. And if you're not familiar with this, how in the world can you give an answer? Well, you can't. And what question do they always ask you? You know, I've been in a lot of houses and a lot of homes, and the first question they always ask me is, where did Cain get his wife? If you don't believe me, you go into a home and talk to people, and they're going to ask you, where did Cain get his wife? And you need to know that. That's a simple little question. But here in the book of Revelation, we got four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. You say, well, where in the world is the four corners? I don't know. The point of it is that we do have four directions, north, west, east, and west. That's four. And these guys are going to hold back the wind. What happens when there's no wind? Well, there's no rain either. And you've got to realize that in Revelation chapter 11, when it tells about the four witnesses, these two guys has power to make it not rain for 3.5 years. And there will be no rain upon the earth for the first 3.5 years. Do y'all want to be there? I don't want to be there. I'm not going to be there. So, it's a terrible time. In fact, in Revelation 6:5, you remember the horse that rides in? There was famine on the earth. Famine on the earth. Why would there be famine? Because there's no rain. Around here, we didn't have no rain for 2 or 3 months, and it's about 15 inches short in 07. If it cut it off altogether, guess what you'd have around there? You wouldn't have nothing. But no rain. And these angels are going to do that. And you got to see that these four witnesses in Revelation 11:6 have that power to shut that off. Also, the earth is round. It's not square. Well, see, when people read this stuff, before Columbus, the Bible told people that the earth was round. Just because you see four corners here, well, they thought that the thing was square. but it's round. In Isaiah 40 and verse 22, it is He that sits upon the circle of the earth. So it's round. It's day and night. Day over here and night over there. And that's plain to see. Revelation 7, verse 2, "And I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea." Revelation 7, 3, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead." So what happens? Another angel shows up and he tells the four angels, "Don't hurt the earth until we seal those servants of God." And he's going to put a seal upon them. Well, people say, "What is that seal? What is that seal?" Well, look at Revelation 14 and verse number 1. Revelation 14:1. Now remember, at the beginning of the tribulation, these 144,000 get sealed. Well, at the halfway point, 3.5 years in the tribulation period, the next time you see 144,000 is there in heaven. They're around the throne. They've been raptured off the earth. And look what it says in 14:1. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead." There's the seal of God. The name of God is written on their forehead. There's the seal of God. You know, if you just think about this, when Satan is a counterfeiter, everything that he does, he counterfeits the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. If you just think about how that was done, then you won't have no problem understanding what the mark of the beast is. Everybody run around with all these crazy ideas and thinking it's a number that they put in the forehead. It's not a number. That's his number. But you get all kind of crazy ideas. Verse number 4, Revelation 7, 4. "And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there was sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." So this is that remnant of Israel that God seals during the tribulation period. There's 144,000. 12 times 12 is 144. There's 12 tribes of Israel that get sealed in the tribulation period. Now, as you go through this thing, and I know if you remember anything about this at all, that there's two tribes that do not get sealed in the tribulation period. Two tribes that do not get sealed. And we'll look at that. And if we go down this, these people are marked with the name of God in their forehead. Now, there's an illustration of the marking of God in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 9 and verse number 4. Ezekiel 9 and verse 4. And if you look at that, you can see very plainly how that is done. And just think about this. If God is doing it that way, and Satan is an imitator, well, guess what? That's how he's going to do it. Ezekiel 9:4, "And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and cry for the abomination that be done in the midst thereof." So you got this angel, and he's got an inkhorn on his side, and God sends this angel out to mark them that have, that's been crying for the abomination that went on in Jerusalem. And he marks some people with that inkhorn. And that's the same thing that's going on here. They're going to mark them. They're going to seal them with the name of the Father in their forehead so that nobody can hurt these 144,000. And by the way, they can't hurt the two witnesses either. So there's an explanation of that. Revelation 7, verse 5, and through verse number, I think it's 8. You're going to see the 12 tribes of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad was sealed 12,000. I want you to, I just call your attention to this. Who's the first tribe mentioned? Judah, right? Was Judah the oldest? You know, in the Old Testament, the oldest was the one that was supposed to get the blessing. See, he puts Judah ahead of Reuben. Reuben was the oldest. Judah was what? What's so important about Judah? Why is he placed first? Jesus Christ came out of the tribe of Judah. That's where the line came from. And that's why you see Judah mentioned first. The line of the tribe of Judah. And if you read Genesis 49, you'll see that out of Judah comes the Messiah. The king is coming out of that tribe. And that's where he's coming from. And he is first in line. Verse number 6, of the tribe of Asher, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, were sealed 12,000. Now, when I read that, can you pick out the one that's not there? What tribe is not mentioned? See, these tribes are not the same one that you find in Genesis 49. It's not the same ones you find in Numbers. But this, what happened when they went out of Egypt? They went out of Egypt, and what did they do with the tribe of Levi? Well, they took the tribe of Levi and made them a priestly tribe. They had no inheritance. The only thing they had was what was brought into the temple. That's where the 10% went. It went to take care of the priestly tribe, which was Levi. And you'll see that Levi was taken out. Also, Joseph was taken out. He was sold into Egypt. He no longer existed. He was taken out. So what happened? Old Joseph is over in Egypt, and he has two sons. Ephraim and Manasseh was Joseph's two sons. And if you read this, one of them gets sealed, and that's Manasseh. But up until this time, Ephraim and Manasseh were part of Israel, the 12 tribes. Now, over here in the tribulation period, you have two tribes taken out, and that was Ephraim and Dan. They don't get sealed. They don't get preserved in the tribulation period. Now those two tribes are in the tribulation, but they're not preserved. They're not sealed. So what does that tell you? That during that tribulation period, a lot of those guys get killed off. But they are taken out. Why are they taken out? Well, because of Baal worship. They're taken out because of Baal worship. And that's why they're taken out. Hosea 4 and verse 17. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. See, Ephraim was part of that. And Dan is probably the worst one of all. He's the one that, if you read Judges over there, he's the one that had a, you know, he went in there with the Levi, and he was worshiping Baal. He was building those idols to Baal. And Dan gets, he don't get sealed, I'll put it that way. All right, number 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So the first group we saw was 144,000. Now we see all the other ones that gets saved out of the tribulation period. They do what God told them to do, and whether or not they get their heads cut off, they get, the next time you see them, they're in heaven. And here they are in heaven. They're around the throne. And what they got, they're dressed in white. Well, what do you have to do to get through the tribulation period? You got to endure, right? These guys endured the tribulation period. And the white clothing that they have is basically based upon human righteousness. Those guys had to do something. They had to work. They had to endure that tribulation period. That's what they had to do. So here you see that these people that we're talking about here is that remnant of Israel. He says, out of every nation. So automatically what happens? Everybody says, oh, see there, that's the church. That's all the Gentiles, and that's all this and that. That has nothing at all to do with Gentiles. And it definitely does not have anything to do with the church. The church has already been gone. 7 years before these guys show up in heaven, the church has already been gone. We've been raptured out. We are not part of that. But when people read that, that's what they're going to say. These people are also part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now look at Revelation 19:7. And it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should array in fine linen. Do you see that? Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So there you have a definition of what these guys are doing dressed in white. What does that say? It says that that's the righteousness of the saints. Look at Revelation 6 and verse number 11. And white robes were given unto them, every one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest yet a little while until their fellow servants, also their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. If you remember Revelation 6, they're talking about they want to know how long before their blood was going to be revenged. And here in Revelation 7, it tells you when that's going to happen. So we see this group of people, and these are the ones that endure the tribulation period. All right, Revelation 7, verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation is of God that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and about the beast, and fell before the throne and their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever, amen. And one of the elders answered and saying unto me, what are these which arrayed in white robes? And whence camest thou? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these, now look at this, the Bible tells you who these people are. These are they which come out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see who that is? That's a group of people that come out of great tribulation. That's who that is. Turn with me to Revelation 20. I want to read this verse to you real quick. In Revelation 20, verse number 4, look what this says. And I saw the thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, and which was had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon the forehead or in the hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Do you see that? That's who these people are, and that's what these people's been promised. They endured the tribulation period. Now they're going to get to sit upon thrones in the millennial kingdom. That's who these people are. They're the martyrs that's going on. Verse number 15 of Revelation 7. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. These people are going to serve Him day and night. Now, where is this temple at that they're going to serve Him in? Just read that verse. In heaven, do they have nighttime? No, they don't have nighttime in heaven. But on the earth, they do. You see where that temple is? It's on the earth. And they're serving Him during that 1,000-year reign here on the earth. That's exactly what they're talking about. In heaven, there is no night. So it has to be on earth. That's where that temple is. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Hey, if you go over to Revelation 22, that's where they're at also. They're in that holy city that comes down out of heaven. That's who's the bride of Christ. That's the bride of Christ. That city. Those people that's in that. We're not the bride of Christ, people. We're not the bride of Christ. I'm in the body. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13 that we've been baptized by one spirit into one body, and we become a member of that body in particular. If anything, I'm part of the room, if you want to look at it that way. But I am definitely not the bride. The bride of Christ is those that's in the holy city that comes down out of heaven. In fact, if you read Revelation chapter 21, you'll see that the Bible says that the bride is that city. And guess what's written what that city is? Well, on 12 gates and 12 foundations, you've got the 12 tribes of Israel. You've got the 12 apostles of Israel. The church ain't there. See, some people, when I tell people that, you know what they say? Oh, what are we going to be doing? Just floating around on the cloud? Well, that's silly. I'm not going to be floating around on a cloud, and I'm not going to be playing a harp. I guess that's how you play it. I don't know. My Bible says that we're going to have positions in the heavens, just like they are on earth. And after the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be put in those positions. In fact, if you read 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, it says that we have a house made of God eternal in the heavens. How many days is eternal? It's not exactly 1,000, is it? Get that out of your head. You're not coming back on a white horse. I couldn't even get on one right now. I don't know what I could do then. Verse 17, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto the living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." When is all the tears from their eyes going to be taken away? Well, that's not until Revelation 21, after the judgment of the lost happens and they get thrown in the lake of fire. That's what he's talking about here. In fact, in Revelation 22, verse 1, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear and crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb." See, there's where these people are going to be. You want to know who's going to be on the earth? These people right here. That's who's going to be on the new earth. They're going to be on the new earth. In fact, all the Old Testament saints, they're going to be on the new earth. You're not going to be on the new earth. They're going to be on the new earth. God promised Abraham the land. Has Abraham got the land? No. Will he get the land? Yes. He promised the church the heavens. And that's exactly what we're going to get.